Welcome to the Ephesiology Podcast, a podcast dedicated to the study of the early Christian movement and its implications for the church today. As always, we are joined by our resident Ephesiologist, Michael, hailing to us from the green, verdant lands of the Midwest. And I am Andrew Johnson, coming to you from Victoria, British Columbia. Michael, I guess welcome back. It's been a minute since we've sat at these mics to talk about all the joys that are ephesiology and the things that we are up to. So what are you up to?
Feels like it. Actually, I mean, we're in a heat wave now.
Oh, yeah.
And which is... I guess it might happen once a year, but we certainly aren't ever prepared for that living where we live. But yeah, I mean, we're looking at summer and excited about getting a week of camping in, excited for our grandson coming to visit here in a couple weeks, and excited to get some projects that I've been working on completed in the next couple months. So, yeah, looking forward to a little period of slowing down as summers tend to be.
Okay, so I guess the question I have for you, I think because I know you, I already know this answer. Are you a starter of projects? Do you constantly have projects that are started everywhere, all over the house and garage? Or do you like work to completion, get that thing done, and then move on to the next one?
Yeah, what a great question. You know what? It depends on who you ask.
Right. I would say maybe I need to bring Lori on.
That's right. Yeah, because from my perspective, I think pretty much all of my house projects are finished, and there might be some, you know, something somewhere that I need to work on. Well, I have a couple of things I needed to be doing in the garage, but yeah, I try to get things done. Who is this guy joining us on the Ephesiology podcast?
Yeah, our podcast guests don't know that into the video chat just slided one Dave Brunel.
Are you serious?
Dave, we are not kidding. We brought you in not to a conversation not on mic, but to a conversation recorded on mic. Welcome to the Ephesiology podcast, Mr. Dave Brunel.
Yeah. Andrew, did you hear that sound?
What was that sound?
I think it was the sound of a bus.
Mm.
And then there was the sound of a very loud, loud thud.
Thud?
The sound of Cooper snickering.
Here is the best part, Dave. Michael already said, Dave is going to feel like I threw him under the bus. I do this often, and he's going to be less than thrilled that I threw him under the bus, but this is what I do. So, Dave, you didn't even know that you just played right into it, hook, line, and sinker.
We're recording now, huh?
We are recording now.
Is this one of those punked? Has Ephesiology doing a punked series?
No. If we do, Dave, you are the pilot episode. Yeah. So, seeing how well this goes or doesn't go, we'll see how many episodes we run back.
Cooper.
Okay, Dave. Well,
I didn't even trust my beard the way I normally do to get ready.
It's okay. Yeah. I think it looks lovely as it always does.
Okay.
I saw there was a picture. Dave, I'm going to give you a chance to talk about yourself because we haven't had you on officially the Ephesiology podcast
in a long time. Yeah, he was in that archaeology.
Yeah. So I said a long time, which I was right by. Thank you. Other bump under the bus, Michael. But before I kick it back to you, Dave, we We were just chatting about all things that summer is.
I'm still trying to wrap my head around the fact that I thought we were coming to a planning meeting and I was ready with notes.
Well, here we are. We're going to be talking about this planning meeting. Yeah, you're part of the show.
Well, folks, I hope you're enjoying it.
Yes, this is going to be great. Okay, since all was intentionally derailed and I'm the one with the mic, I do need to guide us to some semblance of auditory joy. Dave, for those who don't remember our archaeological series episode in which you toured Southeast Asia and other parts and talked about that, who are you, Dave, and how do you connect in with the world of ephesiology?
Wow, who am I? Well, let's see. Walking with Jesus for 40 years. We'll start with that. Married for 38 years to the same woman. Let's see. Was in public safety for a stint, about 15 years. And then after that, went into church planting and thought I would be a serial church planter, but ended up staying at the church that we helped plant for 20 plus years. A little neighborhood church in a gritty overlooked neighborhood in a first ring suburb of Cleveland. And then got into coaching church planters as well during that time and helping at assessment centers. And then had the opportunity to go back and work on my master's and met Michael Cooper at another function where he told me about this program. And so started that and graduated with my MA with an emphasis in church planting and missiology last February. And he immediately roped me into going into a PhD cohort. And then a couple years ago, he invited me to come on staff with Telos Go and ephesiology. And so started that transition last July. And so that is the cautionary tale of what's brought me to this lowly state.
And you're regretting the trials of the journey.
Because this stuff happens. Yeah, it's great. I count it all as joy. Jesus is using Michael to fly.
It is a wonderful thing.
Yeah, let me brag on Dave a little bit here, too, because he's as modest as his beard is long. Dave has become a dear friend, and I have fun. Maybe it's at your expense, Dave, but we have fun together doing some things with Telos Go, who probably most of our listeners don't know that that's our parent, if you will, organization. And Ephesiology Masterclasses is one of the ministries of Telos Go. So Dave and I work together along with another colleague and brother, thinking about things missiologically and how they impact the way in which we think about church planting, theological education, and care for the marginalized around the world. And Dave, as he was doing his Master of Arts, had the opportunity to suffer endlessly, unfortunately, under some of my teaching. And even, I don't think I coerced you, actually. I think I just mentioned that I was going to Nepal one winter. Was it winter? It was a winter, wasn't it? No, it wasn't. Was it winter? And that I was going to be teaching a class that you needed to take or wanted to take. And so he traveled with me along with another student to Nepal, and we had a nice time there. And I think that's where I first threw you under the bus.
Maybe. He got his very first tire tracks
in Nepal. Yep.
And ever since then, Dave has been on a whirlwind global tour, going into different places. As I remember, you on the way back from Kathmandu, your airplane had to make an emergency landing in Athens. which gave you a night and a day in Athens exploring around, and that of course
That's
you
a wonderful problem. I can't wait to have that problem.
And you went to Turkey with me a couple years ago, exploring some of the archaeological stuff we've been doing, metaphysiology. And so it's been a lot of fun to get to know Dave and hear his heart, and then walk with him now as he's mentoring a number of our students through their master's programs. And so it's a joy to call him not only a colleague, but a friend.
Dave, it is truly an honor to have you on board. I think anybody that listens to this podcast, first of all, people who listen to this podcast may not know Michael actually wrote a book called Ephesiology that brought about this podcast. So if you didn't know that, go find the book and read it. But if your only exposure to Ephesiology is this podcast, then you also might not be headlong into Ephesiology masterclasses. Which means you might not understand there is that parent organization called Telesco, that you might not understand there are other people who are a part of the ephesiology bus, either under it or hanging on the side of it, like Dave, like
Running
John,
in terror
like
from it.
others. So, it is a joy to have you on, Dave. I remembered what I was going to note earlier. For those who are listening and you're not going on YouTube to see, Dave has a glorious beard. It is a long and well cared for. And he was at the Movement Leaders Collective annual summit, if you will, that they have. And I saw pictures that were posted. Hugh Halter was hosting it, and Hugh was posting photos of everybody gathered. And I was like, oh, that's right. Dave's there. I can see him in this photo. The long white beard far across the room. I can tell where Dave is in the room. And so I made sure to reach out to Dave and others and express my sadness for not being there. But I'm really glad you got to go.
Right. Well, one thing that you have to know about Dave
Yes.
is he has an amazing Harley Davidson.
I'm sorry. Was the amazing needed when you own a Harley,
Well, no, this
right?
one's really cool.
Okay,
I mean, I haven't seen a cool one like this before, and he won't even let me drive it. Or
That's
I
there's
offered
a
to let you
reason.
ride on the back, but
I but he rides that thing everywhere, and one of the joys that he has is taking long road trips. So Dave, just to throw you under the bus one more time, tell us a good Harley Davidson story about one of your trips.
Oh my goodness. Just
Only
your
one.
favorite one. Your favorite one. Well, some of the most interesting stories happened on my very first bike, which was on a Honda Shadow. And I probably rebuilt that bike on the roadside two or three times before Mississippi, between the Mississippi and the Pacific Coast. I rode that with a non-functional speedometer and fuel gauge, rebuilt the clutch on the side of the road using garage door opener cable and JB Weld. So yeah, those were some fun adventures. But yeah,
Which is why you now own a Harley, because you
yes.
had those experiences with that Honda on the
Right.
roadside.
Yes. So no, I've had the chance to ride to and through all the lower 48 states, given Alaska the side eye. So
Okay. Well, when you come to visit me, I just need to give you the heads up. Harleys don't work well on water, so you will need to take a ferry to come and visit me on Victoria or in on Vancouver Island.
indeed. Yes.
So,
Well, that's on your way to Alaska.
I would say, well, but that's another ferry, just to be clear. We're not connected to Alaska. That's the whole point of an island. All right, Dave, there is a real live reason that Michael sprung this on you. This is our summer hiatus episode. We're recording and letting all of our wonderful people know that we are going to take a little bit of a break. But when we come back as the Ephesiology podcast in the fall, we would like to have a series, not an episode, but a series on spiritual formation. What is it? Why do we need it? And what are ways we can actually, well, I don't want to make it so much a how-to, but we want to focus on the necessity of spiritual formation in the life of believers. And Michael said, I know who we need to talk to, Dave Brunel. Let's get him on here. So again, I'm not trying to just keep backing the bus up and then going forward and then backing the bus up and
Called
going
ambush
forward.
journalism. Is that what this is called, right?
Dave, what is spiritual formation? This is not a quiz. It's just.
In 60 seconds, Dave, describe.
No, you can. You're allowed a whole 90.
I would say that it is the ongoing journey in the life of a believer wherein they yield themselves to and cooperate with the work of the Holy Spirit, that they would become progressively shaped more and more into the image of Christ who lives in them. And that happens in a lot of different ways through communities, spiritual disciplines, spiritual habits. And I think it's the goal and the destiny and the responsibility of every believer to participate in Jesus forming us to be more like himself. I would put it in the parlance that Jesus lives the encore performance of his life through us.
Wow. Wow,
Dave,
that's good.
if, yeah, our listeners are very smart. Very, very smart folks. What if our listeners just heard that excellent definition, description of all of that? And then they said, but isn't that discipleship? How is spiritual formation and discipleship different? Are they different?
Bump, 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 bump. That's the sound of Dave getting thrown under the bus.
No, stop. He's thinking.
No. I would say that they're very closely related. I would say that discipleship is an activity and an environment in which formation can take place. That's good. Well, you're giving me some things to think
I
about
know. I'm chewing on
here.
that.
And this is good. And I'm glad that we did this kind of spontaneously because we're getting some of the raw thinking here of what might be going into a course on spiritual formation. I don't think I would disagree with how you're delineating discipleship and spiritual formation. I mean, there's a lot to be said that they go hand in hand. I mean, there's nowhere in scripture that we have the phrase spiritual formation. But certainly the idea is prevalent throughout that we are being formed into the image of Christ. And I don't know if, the New Testament writers would ever make a distinction between discipleship and formation, that they seem to be one and the same. I don't know. I mean, I'm just thinking about this live with you as well.
I don't know that the New Testament writers would make the distinction either. I would make more of that. For me, that's more of an accommodation, perhaps, on to how like the church in North America thinks what discipleship is. typically when I've talked about that, I think discipleship can be misunderstood as time in grade that affords one the capacity to give the right answers. Like, if you know more Bible verses and you're following Jesus, you've been a Christian for 20 years, well, then you're a mature disciple. And I would say, no, not necessarily. Yeah. You may be.
I would say, no, no. The answer is no, flat out no.
Yeah, that it may follow that you know Bible verses and you've been a Christian for 25 years and that you are a mature disciple, but time in grade and knowledge does not a disciple make, in my mind. And that what I would say is, how I would define it or categorize it is that it is the yielding and submitting to the abiding in Christ as an act and a craft that produces the fruit of a formed disciple.
Yeah, I think the thing, I mean, we're talking around it quite simply. If we were to speak to first century Christians and ask this absolutely asinine question on the difference between or the value of discipleship and spiritual formation, I think they probably would, does it matter? Right? Like, not that what we're discussing is useless. It's more of what is the most important thing? Christlikeness. What is the most important thing that the world is, that they hear about Christ, that they know him, are set free, and are growing to be like him? All things becoming new. Perhaps even the question is splitting hairs. It's like, don't lose the forest for the trees.
There's a contrasting metaphor, if you have time for it, that I'll often use. I picked this up from my New Testament survey professor a lifetime ago, if you have time.
Oh, we have more than 90 seconds on this one.
Okay. So there's a remarkable amount of similarities between Socrates and Jesus. They were both itinerant. They're both tradesmen. Everything that we know about them is, we have no autobiographical.
We know it because somebody told us.
Right. Although they were in different forms, certainly they both believed in an afterlife of some kind. They both believed in absolute truth. They were both executed by the state. Socrates for corrupting youth and Jesus for corrupting
allegedly
youth. Yeah, allegedly corrupting
yep.
youth. And Jesus for allegedly corrupting Judaism. And if we were to form a Church of Socrates, we could gather regularly in community and read about the, you know, Socratic way of life. We could write songs about living the Socratic way of life. We could have conferences about the Socratic way of life, and we could have campaigns and share the fulfillment and satisfaction of the Socratic way of life. We could have little bracelets. WWSD, what would Socrates do? And in the end, with those efforts, we would likely have externally observable, ethical, contributing members of society.
Right.
Apart from Christ, absolutely dead. But the difference being is that Socrates never said that he would actually live in the life of his followers. And Jesus unequivocally said that he would do that. And so that I would say then many discipleship approaches follow more of the Church of Socrates approach that's natural, mental, and mechanical. What can I do in my natural ability through mental assent and just doing things? Whereas
right.
formation in Jesus, the way that I understand the disciples to communicate that the writers is supernatural, spiritual, and mystical. It's a work of the Holy Spirit through our union with Christ, and it's beyond our natural capacity to produce. And so I think if we're not careful, sometimes discipleship environments can look more like the Church of Socrates, but discipleship environments can intentionally look like that nursery or that crucible for the supernatural, spiritual, mystical formation of Jesus in us, so he can live beyond poor performance of his life through us.
That's really beautiful. And also, I appreciate that you vacillated between the imagery of a nursery and a crucible. I will say those are very different environments, but still also very known. we are in those. We understand the care that is needed as well as the suffering that is required that goes into looking like Christ.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I am looking forward to this series, probably beginning in September, but looking forward to having this conversation, an ongoing conversation that will do a deep dive on spiritual formation and what that looks like for all of us. I mean, ourselves included. I mean, right. I don't think any of us here or even those listening would ever say that they're completely formed. And what a joy it is to be able to walk in community with others and continue that experience of living into what it means to be transformed and renewed and in Christ. And yeah, so this is going to be good.
This is going to be good.
And what I'm particularly excited about with this topic is we're going to do it in an ecclesiological way. And of course, Dave is going to explain what exactly that means. We won't throw him under the bus on this episode to make that explanation, but he's going to be
next podcast
unpacking a lot of that. But I'm excited about it because it's particularly important for what we do at the Ecclesiology Masterclasses, at the podcast, Telosco, and everywhere that we're where we might have a bit of a footprint. But I'm very thankful that Dave is going to step into this and kind of guide that conversation.
Dave, before I land the plane, it is only fitting. Any parting words or parting shots at Michael that you would like to give before we go to the end?
There's a voice in my head saying, Cooper says in September, but am I actually going to be duped into hopping onto a Zoom call in August? And
the answer is probably yes, but
yeah, I will just say I will view every Zoom link that he sends me from now on with
suspiciously
vicious scrutiny. Yeah.
Hey kids, we're going to the laundromat. We're not going to SeaWorld.
Yeah.
And right. Then every trip from then on. Dave, thank you for being willing to be suckered into this. Michael, thank you for doing the suckering. I am
it's
excited.
It's a pleasure. I love this so much.
This is like Michael's best part of Michael's day. Dave's going to get off this and be like, you are not going to believe what Cooper did. So listeners, we are certainly excited that you have been able to join us. And we want to invite you to listen to some of these back episodes, to check out some of the things that are a part of the Ecclesiology podcast, as well as always, we are plugging, we are encouraging this continued growth and hopeful spiritual formation that you can take part in a discipling environment at Ecclesiology Masterclasses. So go online, hit the interwebs, masterclasses.ecclesiology.com. See if there are classes or even degrees that you want to pursue to see what God might be doing in and through you and what he might want to bring to the world as a part of you participating in these environments. Well, for Dave, platform, Michael, and myself. Thank you for doing theology and community with us today on the Ephesiology Podcast.